Hey, this is Kurt Isles. I'm glad you joined us at the Creek Bank blog and podcast. You're always welcome here. We have a story today that we're going to read from my book, The Old House. It's called The Old House at the End of the Road. I'm sitting on a dog trot porch. The old house, I wish you could see it sometimes. It has three dog trot porches. The one I'm on faces north-south. To my left is one that faces east-west. On the other side of the house, there's another east-west one. And believe it or not, there's another east-west one on the back. And the reason they built these houses like that was you're going to get a breeze somewhere on those porches. Now, I'm sitting here today. It's June the 20th. It's hot. Always June the 20th is hot in Louisiana. But I'm getting a slight north breeze. That's making it bearable to be out here. And that's why it's a good time to read you the story called The Old House at the End of the Road. Starts off with a poem I wrote probably 40 years ago. If it's possible to love a house like a person, then the Lord knows I love this old house. It's a place reminding me of family and the things in life that really mean the most. It's a place I return to when I'm lonely, or it seems I've lost my way. A place where I always feel welcome to sit down and just think for a while. Now, this old house is much more than boards and nails, because it tells me of our past. As I walk through it, I'm reminded that the special people in our lives never last. But although they're gone, I will remember how they still live on inside of me, because this old house reminds me of who I am and everything I ever want to be. There it sits, surrounded on the east side by tall longleaf pines and along the west fence line by oak and hickory trees as the land slopes down to the swamp. Out in front is the dilapidated old barn, and behind this house to the south are overgrown fields, once bearing tall field corn and purple hull peas, but now grown up in a tangle of briars, tallow trees, and weeds. In the middle of this area sits the most special place on earth for me, the old house. It was built by my great-great-grandparents about 1892, on land they homesteaded here. And it's now vacant. No one's lived here since 1970. And it's slowly deteriorating the way homes do when no one lives in them. However, to me, it's a beautiful place of peace, reflection, and solitude. As the poem I read to you states, it is a place where I go to get my bearings and remember what is really important to me. Recently, my sister frankly called me at work. A woods fire is burning close to the old house. I ran to my truck and quickly drove to the old house, which is next door to the home of my parents. As I turned down their gravel road, I could see the dark smoke billowing up above the tree line. The 1 mile drive down the road seemed much longer as I hurriedly drove, wondering how close the fire was to the most special house I know. I've always lived with the fear that the old house would burn. I sped by the home of my parents and two sisters and parked in the driveway of the old house. I breathed a sigh of relief, seeing that the fire was much further away than my sister Claudia had thought. I was both relieved and thankful. As I sat in my truck looking at the original log house, built by five generations of my family, I was once again reminded why this is my favorite place in the world. I've gone far away over the years, but invariably I return in body and spirit to the old house at the end of the road. You see, the old house is where I come to write. On a beautiful spring day, when the wind is blowing, I'm here. Even on hot days in June like that, I'm here on the porch. And when it gets too cold to be outside, I'll go inside and build a good fire and be in there. But as days like today, I'm outside. I sit in the same rocking chair that my grandfather, Paul, my great-grandfather, sat in as he read Lewis L'Amour books during the last years of his life. It's the same porch where his son, my grandfather, said, "Come on down, we got a fresh pot of coffee brewing." And we would come on down from my parents' house. Out front is the same yard where Papa would yell out his pig call. And each evening when he did that, woods hogs would come tearing out of the swamp for the shell corn they knew awaited them. Now, during a chill of winter, it's too uncomfortable to sit on the porch, so I move inside to the middle room. There by the double fireplace, I attempt to stay warm by sitting right up near the fire and doing what I love best, writing. Now, there's an art, which I've never quite mastered, of being up close to a fireplace without getting too hot. The trick is to get warm and toasty on the front of your body while your backside is freezing to death. The most important thing to remember is not let your front side get too hot. Nothing burns worse than the front of your jeans sticking to your legs as you move away from a hot fire. During these cold days of winter, in the middle of a house, my fingers become numb as I type on my laptop, but I still love being in this room. There's something about the warmth and companionship of a fire. Whether it's a blazing campfire in the Arkansas mountains or this fireplace at the old house, it gives comfort and security to anyone fortunate enough to sit beside its warmth. Often when I've camped in the woods, it has amazed me how a campfire unites a group of men, physically as they huddle together and emotionally as they begin to loosen up and tell things. There's something about staring into an open fire that causes us to lose our inhibitions. Somewhat like being under the influence of alcohol, I've seen tight-lipped men who normally would never show outward emotion gaze into a fire and show their deepest emotions and secrets. The eyes of a man staring to the campfire as he shares deep feelings from his heart is a scene not easily forgotten. As he talks, the warm reflection of the fire in his tear-filled eyes create a reverence in all of us as we listen. Now, it seems a fire has the same effect on me. It makes me want to write. And when I'm around a fire and at the old house, stories seem to just appear and burst forth. As I stare into the December fire and hear the cold wind moaning through the cedars in the front yard, sitting here, I'm accompanied by the popping and crackling fire. From time to time, a hot ember pops out of the fireplace against the fire screen. In the same way, ideas or stories just seem to just be conceived and spring forth as I sit bundled up in this room. This is where I've written most of my books, and it's always a good place to be. Now, this middle bedroom is where some of my older ancestors died, and others in my family were born. It's the same cozy room where I always loved to sit with my grandmother. It was peaceful as we would sit there visiting, just rocking back and forth in front of the fire. Sitting here today in that room, there are still two rocking chairs by the fireplace. The one next to me where I'm sitting is empty. My, what I would give to spend one more evening rocking and visiting with my mama Pearl in front of this fireplace. Now, when I sit bundled up by this fire in the middle bedroom, I know a telephone is not going to ring for two reasons. First of all, there's no landline here. And secondly, you can hardly get a cell signal at the end of Clayton Isles Road. So a cold day at this old house with no ringing phones is worth the frozen toes and numb fingers. This room becomes my hideout. I well understand this quote from Susan Allen Toth. A closed door, a comfortable chair, a view out a window. Maybe that's all a hideout requires. Throughout my life, the old house has been a hideout for me, a place I can go. Now, true winter days are rare in Southwest Louisiana, so most of my writing times are on the front porch. The outside sounds of nature motivate me just as much as a warm fire in the winter. Pausing from writing, a nearby red cardinal flies by as a reminder to write about him. A green lizard scurries on the porch railing, stops, and puffs up his red sack as he shows us his money. I laugh at the absurdity of this great ego in a 2-ounce body. Just like me, Mr. Lizard thinks he is king of all his surveys, when in fact, we are both just travelers, passing through and enjoying the pleasures of being here at the front porch at the old house. Now, all these gifts of God through nature prompt future stories to be written. There's something about sitting on a porch in the woods, alone and silent, that causes a peace to settle in my soul. And the ideas for stories just seem naturally to come to the surface. So from the front porch of this log house, in the edge of Crooked Bayou Swamp, is a good place to begin this book. A book called The Old House. A book of simple stories of the people of 6 generations who've lived, laughed, cried, and died here. A book of stories about the lives, experiences, and special people of my community called Dry Creek. A collection of stories from my heart, written in the setting of a place I love best. The old house at the end of the road. I hope you've enjoyed that story today. It's been a pleasure to share it with you. I hope you'll join us soon. We will be back. And always, in the meantime, we'll keep the screen door at the old house unlatched for you.